All right, can I have a couple of people help me with the communion? Whenever we partake of the communion, we've been given some specific guidelines to follow on this. And one of the main things that Paul told us is to discern the body of Christ. And the way to discern the body of Christ is specifically look at this bread, which is the body of Christ, and see the different things about this bread and what happened to his body. Number one, we're going to understand that this bread is called matzah bread. It's made without yeast. Yeast is significant as sin in the Bible. We know that Jesus' body is and was 100% without sin. He never made a mistake, not once. Also, you'll notice that this bread has been beaten and pounded flat. Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. In fact, the Bible tells us he was beaten, he was for our transgressions, wounded for our iniquities. And you'll notice that this bread has stripes in it. The Bible tells us that it's by his stripes we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. Jesus' body was pierced when he was on that cross, when that Roman soldier thrust that spear into his side. His body was pierced when he got a crown of thorns on his head. His body was pierced when he got nails in his hands, and his body was pierced when he got nails in his feet. Everywhere he got pierced, he shed blood, and we get redemption for some area. You'll notice that this bread is slightly burned. That means that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. He took all of our sins. He took all of the curse. He took all of our shortcomings. He took our poverty. He took our weaknesses. He took everything. In Jesus' name, we're taking this for our healing and our well-being. The blood of Jesus is so perfectly pure, because it had no sin in it. And that's the reason that the blood of Jesus is still alive. And it's still washing away our sins. And it's because of that blood that we have boldness to enter into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. It's because of that blood all of our sins have been washed away. We've been put into right standing with God. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. We live in a crazy, crazy world right now. We live in a dangerous world. But there's something that you have to understand, is the devil and his people have to tell us what they're going to do before they do it. They have to. It seems to be some spiritual law. That way, if they tell us and we go ahead and fall into their trap, it's on us. But they have to tell us what they're doing before they do it. Now, we have to pay attention. We absolutely have to pay attention to what's going on. The devil lives on symbolism, and he also tells us what he's going to do. One of the things that the devil does, he doesn't seem to change his playbook. And you know, there's some new words that have been floating around for a while called, you know, one of them is called a false flag. Have you heard of a false flag? False flags. You know, something will happen somewhere and it'll cause an effect somewhere else. Remember on 9/11 happened, and then all of a sudden we're over in Afghanistan just bombing people to smithereens. You got to understand there were some things about 9/11 that a lot of people don't understand. Is sure enough, the Twin Towers, you know, whatever happened to them, they called it an attack. But the Building 7, there were no planes crashed into it. It just collapsed. Because what's going on right now is directly tied to that event. They were going to set us free. We were on the verge of being set free, being brought out of the national, out of the Internal Revenue Service and the Federal Reserve. They had the money to take care of that. Remember the day before 9/11? They came out and said there's $3 trillion missing. And then Twin Towers came down, and then we're over in Iraq. And nobody ever got back talking about that $3 trillion. See, the devil will cause distractions to get us off of what we're supposed to be looking at. See, the devil knows, you know, you are part of the tribe of the Lion of Judah. That's you. But he also knows that if he can keep the lion distracted, he's toast. So have you noticed how many distractions we have around the world? All over, constantly there's a new distraction. There's something new happening somewhere else. Every day. And people don't focus. I've noticed that people seem to have the attention span of a gnat. I've told some of my hands that before. You got to pay attention. You got to pay attention. Today, more than ever in history, we have to pay attention. We can't fall for the distractions. Now, there's another distraction possibly coming up. You know something about the Twin Towers? This is kind of a side note. Larry Silverstein, he rented the Twin Towers. Did you know that? He also went and he got them insured. And who would have thought that you insure them for terrorism? So he got them insured for terrorism. So then they got terrorized. And then he went and sued the insurance company, said because he got attacked twice, they should pay more. So he walked out of there at $4 billion. You want to know a really good spot to watch for the next flag, the next red flag, you know, the false flag? Watch the World Bank Tower in L.A. Larry Silverstein just bought it. They do the same things over and over and over again. Just watch. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I hope it doesn't, but just watch. Another thing that we absolutely have to watch out for is the Mandela effect. Do you know what that is? The Mandela effect is like a parable, like a prophecy almost, but it sounds so much like the Bible, it must be true, right? Sounds so much like the Bible, it must be true. You want an example of that? Give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. That sounds a lot like the Bible, doesn't it? It's not in there. It's not in the Bible. But it sounds so much like the Bible, it must be the Bible. It's not. It may be the truth, but it's not in the Bible. You know how many people, if you ask 100 people, how many are going to say that's in the Bible? Probably 90% of them. Just because you hear something doesn't mean it's so. When I was in Bible school, we got exposed to a whole bunch of different teachers. There's a lot of people. You know, they'd come in for some of them for one day, some of them in for two, 3 days. You know, but there was a lot of people that would show up. We had a lot of people. And one guy in particular showed up. And this guy, I always wondered for the longest time why they'd have this guy in there, because he preached the law. I thought, it's just creepy. I couldn't understand why. And anyway, he went through his whole thing. He said you can find Jesus in the Old Testament. You know, there's types and shadows of Jesus throughout the Old Testament. And that's the truth. But at the end, when he got done teaching and he was getting ready to leave, he told us about sitting under his rabbi, and he said one of the most important things you can do to a rabbi is ask him questions. So anyway, he got done with everything, and he said, anybody got anything to say? And we all just sat there. And he said, you guys don't have any questions for me? It kind of upset him. We didn't have any questions for him. But later on, that's what I learned. I managed to learn something from every one of those teachers. What I learned from him is to ask questions. And the nice thing is, you don't have to have a pastor or a priest or a rabbi or anybody else sitting around. You have the Holy Spirit. You can ask the Holy Spirit questions. But it's important to ask questions. Don't just take everything you hear as being the gospel, because it's not. It may sound really, really close. But if it's not all the way the truth, it's not all the way the truth. Like my boss used to tell me, he said, if it's 95% right, it's all wrong. This guy was a perfectionist. He was hard to work for. But remember, God told Adam and Eve to take care of that garden in there, didn't he? He told them to take care of all the trees in that garden, take care of everything in there. I'm sorry, I forgot you, Carl. Well, anyway, Satan came into that garden and asked Eve about that tree, and she said, oh, we're not even supposed to touch that tree. See, that wasn't the truth, was it? She added to what God said. God told them to take care of that tree. Don't eat of that fruit, but take care of that tree. To take care of it, you certainly have to touch it, don't you? Well, she added to what God said, and it got her in trouble. Amen. Now, we need to ask questions. We need to pay attention to what's going on around us. We need to pay attention to symbolism. Symbolism is everything. You know, people like to say symbolism doesn't mean much, but okay, if symbolism doesn't mean much, then what are we doing with crosses and fishes? We got crosses all over in the church. That's symbolism. Means everything to us, doesn't it? The cross means everything to us. The fish means everything to us. If these symbols mean everything to the Christian world, then these other symbols must mean something to the satanic world, right? That way you can understand what you're dealing with. One of the early questions I had was, what about the Star of David? See, that was a big thing. You know, Christians wear the Star of David all over the place. You see them with the necklaces. You know, and that star is honored all over the place. Have you ever asked yourself about that star? Here's your homework for the day. When you go home, look up the 1917 Balfour Declaration. The 1917 Balfour Declaration. And then start asking yourself questions from there. Ask yourself why one of the most evil people that has ever walked the face of this planet is behind the nation state of Israel. Ask yourself these questions. One of the question I had was, the menorah was a special thing to God in the Bible. It's part of the stuff that goes in the temple. It's part of the furniture, the menorah, the seven candlesticks. I always wondered, why wouldn't he put the menorah on the flag and not Star of David? You know something, my questions led me to some answers. Acts chapter 7. Well, let's look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 34, before we get rolling here. Matthew chapter 13, verse 34. It says, all these things Jesus spake, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spoke he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares in the field. So there is our first part about the parable. See, when that teacher was talking about the law in the Old Testament and finding Jesus in the Old Testament, see, in the Old Testament, Jesus is concealed. And in the New Testament, Jesus is revealed. Now, right here, we're still in the Old Testament. Did you know Jesus was an Old Testament preacher? Let's look at Mark chapter 4, verse 34. But without a parable spoke he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all these things to his disciples. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. See, there's Jesus again talking about in parables. Now, the thing about parables, is that they will reveal to those that are seeking the truth, that are truly interested in the mysteries of the kingdom, it'll reveal to them the kingdom of God. To the scoffers, to the unbelievers, it'll be concealed from them. It'll be concealed from the scornful. To those who were hostile or nearly curious, these stories remain just stories. And in fact, sometimes Jesus was telling the Pharisees this is a form of judgment. He'd speak these parables to them. Jesus said this. He said, those that have eyes to see and ears to hear, let them hear, let them see. He was telling us to pay attention. We're going to have to sometimes dig deep into what's going on in our world. Sometimes we're going to have to dig into the scriptures. The Star of David has that Mandela effect going for it, doesn't it? The Star of David, that sounds biblical, doesn't it? And the whole world has accepted it. Did you know that the same star on the flag of Israel is the very same star that's on the crown of the Pope? Now that doesn't make sense, does it? They're supposed to be kind of opposed, ain't they? The same star. Now let's go to Acts chapter 7, verse 43. Acts chapter 7, verse 43 says, "Yeah, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Rephaim figures, which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon." That's where Israel got in trouble with that star. David did not pick that star up. That was Solomon. That was Solomon. I always wondered, a long time ago, I watched a protest. There were some Jews protesting Israel. I thought, what is going on here? That doesn't make sense. What are you guys doing? And I sat there and I watched this Jewish rabbi. I said, this is not God's Israel. He said out of his own mouth, this guy is a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi. He said, this is Rothschild's Israel. But because of the Mandela effect, the whole church has been conned into thinking that this is a move of God. The real rabbis that are practicing Judaism say they're not even supposed to be in Israel. They're not supposed to be gathered up right now. See, here's the thing. You're not a Jew hater because you stand against the nation state of Israel. I do not hate Jews. I don't. And neither do you. But sometimes we get a little bit things confused. Now, if they're not serving God, who are they serving? See, we got to get ourselves located on this. Amen. We got to understand what we're doing. We have to ask questions. We have to know why it is we believe what we believe. We have to be rock solid on that. See, we can't just say, okay, this sounds good, I'm going to go with it. You know, I had a guy, I was watching this video, and this guy says King David called himself God. And I thought, what? I thought, you got to be. I got to hear his spiel on this. He said, God lives on Mount Zion. I thought, so, okay. Start asking questions. Ask questions. First question, I said, well, how did he come up with this idea that God lives on Mount Zion? Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 3. Second Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1 says, Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David, his father, in the place that David had prepared the threshing floor of Ornan and the Jebusite. So God told him, build my temple on Mount Moriah. Well, that's where God lives, doesn't it? Mount Moriah, that's where he used to. That's where the temple was. That's where the ark was supposed to be, right? Mount Moriah. Well, why is he saying on Mount Zion? That's where David built his house. So I had to ask more questions. I asked another question. You realize that the Ark of the Covenant was in exile for quite a while? Where did the Ark of the Covenant go when they brought it out of exile? The Ark of the Covenant went to Mount Zion, where David built a tent, a tabernacle to protect that Ark, until they could get the temple built. Then they moved it over to the temple. See how that works? Ask questions. Keep asking questions. Keep asking questions. So I wondered how this guy was coming up with these ideas on all this stuff. And he, this is what he said. Turn to Psalms chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78, verse 2 said, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. He thought because David was talking about dark sayings that he was going to be able to say whatever he wanted to. See, the problem with taking one scripture out of context, you can't take anything out of context. Everything has to fit. You have to match it up. You have to keep going. Follow it all the way to the end. You know where the end that ultimately is? The end of everything. Every question you have in the Bible ends up at the foot of the cross. There is not one single question you have that is not answered at the cross. There's not one lack or need that you have that is not answered at the cross. Everything was met at the cross. In fact, when Jesus got on that cross and he said, it is finished, there were like 21 things that were finished. And not just the old way of doing things. There was a whole bunch of things that got finished. But Paul said that old covenant was abolished. He brought it to an end. The old way of doing things was finished. Jesus came in and set up a whole new program. So now all these people that are starting to keep the law, you know, there's a lot of people that say they're Christians because they go to church. And in fact, the polls, you know, the statisticians, they put them all in one great big happy group. You know, they call all these churchgoers, they call them all Christians. And I've had to explain to people that there are churchgoers and there are Christians. Not all Christians go to church every day. Do you know that? Not all churchgoers are Christians. You can literally sit in church every day, every Sunday of your life, and not hear the salvation message. You know, if you think that's strange, Glenn Smith, he told us while we were in Bible school, said he went to do a pastor's conference. There was hundreds of pastors in this conference. And he went to do a pastor's conference. And at the end, he did an altar call, and he said there were like 30 or 35 of them got born again. Pastors! Well, I witnessed to a Muslim one time. And I went to start telling him about Jesus, and he said, oh, ho, 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 ho. So I spent, this guy literally, he spent like 10 or 12 years in the ministry. And then he said he sat under the feet of a real popular pastor on the East Coast for several years. And all that I could think of, said, you spent that much time in church and you didn't get born again? If you're born again, you're not going to be led away by the spirit of Islam. Amen? You'll have that witness of the Holy Spirit in you. Look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 42. Matthew chapter 22, verse 42 says, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How does David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord saith unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, that I make my enemies thy footstool." If David didn't call him Lord, how is he son? See, these Jews wanted the son of David. They didn't want Jesus. They wanted that kingdom restored. The Jews wanted the power kingdom. That's why they missed the Lamb of God. They wanted the king to show up. They wanted their kingdom restored. They wanted their power structure restored. They still want their power structure restored. Now we got Christians that are sitting around that are so focused on the Lamb of God, and that's great. You should focus on the Lamb of God and give him all praise. But don't forget about the King, the risen King, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the one that's seated at the right hand of God, and you are seated in him. Amen? You know, the one that gave you power and authority over all of the enemy. The enemy that's running around in this world right now. If the church would ever come into agreement on some of this stuff, we'd go pray over Washington and they would cease and desist in their operations immediately. But we can't get 5,000 denominations gathered up to agree on one thing, much less two. See, I think there's going to be a lot of problems till the part of the Bible that says we're all going to come together in the unity of the faith. When that happens, the evil's going to be done. We're going to come together in the unity of our faith, not our doctrine. But one of the things that we have to do is learn how to identify the devil. See, we've been told all of our lives that right is wrong and wrong is right. We've been told that stuff that's good for us is bad for us, and stuff that's bad for us is good for us. How many of you have been told, man, you stay away from eggs? Those are bad for you. Now they're good for you. Stay away from, this is a biggie now. This is causing, we're living in a day and age right now, a time where Alzheimer's is completely rampant. We were told back in the day, eat lean meat. Stay away from fat. And then we find out later that this cholesterol, this animal cholesterol, is actually an insulation for our brain. When you take that away, it causes Alzheimer's. This is what these evil people behind the government have been doing to us. This is the devil. Ultimately, it goes to the devil. They're trying to destroy this planet. Let's look back over here to Matthew chapter 13 again. Verse 24 says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then has it tares? He said unto them, an enemy has done this. See, the word of God is the seed, and that's the good seed that gets planted into our hearts. Now, it's inevitable. We're going to come in contact with bad seed. You know, the world is bombarding us with bad ideas. You know, the news, the media, the people around us, you know, we just run into stuff. And sometimes we get some bad seed planted into our hearts. It doesn't mean you're bad. It just means that the enemy has managed to get a bad seed in you somehow, a weed seed. My pastor used to say, pray for a crop failure on those weeds. But ultimately, we take the word of God, we put it into our hearts, and sometimes we have to repent of other ideas that we've come up with. See, repent just means turn around. One day we believed something, and then we found out that was false information. So we stop. We turn around. We find the truth. And we believe that. You know, Paul was on his way to Damascus, and he had an encounter with Jesus. See, Paul believed one way. He believed the law 100%. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was studying to be the high priest. And then he got knocked to the ground, and he looked up and said, who are you, Lord? Said, ah, you're Lord. What happened? He repented. He repented. That means an about face. Literally an about face. He repented. You can't find anywhere in the Bible where Paul asked God to forgive him for his past sins. So to get people in a room, you know, in order for them to get born again and spend 30 minutes having them confess all their sins is not biblical. It's just not. The Bible tells us to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord. And Paul just believed. He believed. All of a sudden, he believed. I imagine you would start believing something if you ran into Jesus. You'd start believing pretty fast. And he said, you're Lord. And that was it. And Paul completely left the law behind him. That's what we need to do. We need to leave works behind us. Now, we go do good works, but it's because we've already been made the righteousness of God. Amen? We don't do good works trying to get saved. We do good works because we are saved. Amen? So we need to look into these things sometimes. You know, when you run into something, instead, this is one of the worst habits of Christians that they have. They'll hear somebody say something, and they'll say, prove it to me. No, you go prove it to yourself. You go find it in the Bible one way or the other. Because if you're waiting for somebody to tell you, guess what's going to happen? Somebody's going to tell you something, and then you're toast. I actually had a lady tell me one time, said, we wait on our conference to tell us if there's a scripture we need to believe in or not. I said, are you serious? You're waiting for a group of men to tell you what you're supposed to believe? See, this is a real troublesome subject for me because I come from the group of people who says the King James is the only thing you're supposed to preach out of. And then I started studying King James and I thought, jeez, this guy's a mess. But I believed it because somebody told me that. But see, without doing your own study and your own research and actually looking into these things, guess what? You're not going to have the witness of the Holy Spirit inside of you to stand up to these things. You'll just go ahead and believe whatever happens. You always, always have to ask yourself, why do you believe the things that you believe? And then go find it in the Bible. See, this is going to keep you from the Mandela effect. People believe a lot of things because it sounds so close to what the Bible should say, but it's not what the Bible says. The Star of David. Feed a man a fish, give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Not in the Bible. Go back and find what it is you're believing in. Find it. Find it in the Bible. Underline it so you know it. But don't just believe it because mama said it. Don't just believe it because the pastor said it. Some friends of mine got some water poured on their head and the pastor said, you're okay now. You know how many people believe they're okay because they got some water poured on their head? A bunch. You know what Jesus said? He said, a man must be born again. He must be born again. The Bible tells us that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Even Jesus said, there is no man comes to the Father but through me. You have to go through Jesus. He is the door. Now, there's a lot of ways people get to Jesus. There's a lot of rabbit trails people follow getting to Jesus. I mean, there's all kinds of ways people end up running and encountering Jesus. But there's only one way to God, and that's through the Son. And know this, because this is one of the biggest lies in the church world today. We're all children of God. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. You don't get to be a child of God until you get born again. Unless you're little. But once you reach the age of accountability, then you got to be born again. But you're not a child of God until then. So whose child are you until you get born again? See, this is the cold, harsh reality of life that people need to understand. If you don't belong to God, you belong to Satan. You know, there's no middle ground here. You know, there's no limbo area. If you're not sealed by the Holy Spirit, you belong to the devil. Now, the same way God has people working for him that are led by the Spirit of God, Satan has people working for him that are led by his evil spirit. Now we can understand why we have so many evil politicians. We have evil rulers all over the world. And now we can understand why this whole thing is coming together. All these Bible prophecies are coming together. The Jordan River's almost dry. Those angels are supposed to be turned loose when it gets dry. The kings of the north are supposed to be able to ascend on Israel. All of Israel's enemies surrounding Israel. All of these things happening at the same time. All the signs in the heavens, all the planets, all the blood moons, all this stuff that's been happening. Can you ever remember a time when we had this many things happening at the same time? And now, I've seen a thing where Israel has actually anointed a high priest. You know, we know they have several red heifers. They got them from Texas. And we know that's one of the things that they need to do, and they want to build this new temple. You know, I was really excited about getting this new temple built for a long time. And then I started asking myself questions. I said, what are they going to do when they get this temple built? They're going to resume animal sacrifices, which is an absolute blasphemy to Christ. I'm not a fan of that idea. You shouldn't be either. Amen. Regardless of how gaslit you may have been, the nation state of Israel is doing some very bad things. But that's not the true Jews. Jesus talked about that in Revelation chapter 2. Verse 9 and Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. Same people. Amen. You know, the Jews that are practicing Judaism, they will not go in a Zionist synagogue. They said, if that star is in there, we're not going in there. That should tell you something. That should tell you something, what we're dealing with. Amen. Why am I saying that? Israel has a deep state the same way United States has a deep state, the same way Britain has a deep state, the same way China has a deep state, Russia had a deep state. Every country in the world had a deep state, which is this evil group of people that has been trying to take over the world. Amen. The days of us sitting around waiting for Jesus to come rapture us out of here and save us, you got to get that out of your head. Jesus is coming back. But we can't just sit on the bench waiting for him to come save us. We have to fight too. Amen? Now, this rapture thing, everybody says, the rapture is not in the Bible. It doesn't say, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible, but if you look at the Greek translation, what it's actually talking about is actual snatching away. I mean, you're fast. You're out of here. So, which is important because these evil people have come up with this Project Blue Beam, they're going to start putting images in the sky. Just wait. They're going to put images in the sky. So if you find yourself walking towards an image of Jesus, stop, turn around, get back home. Shut the door, open your Bible. Because that's not a snatching away. You're being led astray. I mean, you're not even going to have time to think about it. You're just going to be gone. That's what rapture means. Gone. Boom. You don't have time to walk out into the desert. So if you encounter that, don't go. Don't go. And you're going to see things. Remember, the devil can do lying signs and wonders. We don't fall for that. We are to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything you do for us. Father, we thank you for taking care of us. And we thank you for clarity of spirit. Father, we thank you for teaching us how to rightfully divide the word of truth. Father, we thank you for the Spirit who leads us. Father, we thank you that as we worship you in spirit and in truth, and we get more and more revelation of you through your word, that we will be able to walk in the right path and be in the right place at the right time. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.